This is a KUNV Studios original program.
The content of this program does not reflect the views or opinions of 91.5 Jazz and More, the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, or the Board of Regents of the Nevada System of Higher Education.
Hi, I'm Charles Stanton. I'm on the faculty of the Honors College of UNLV and the Boyd School of Law.
Hi, I'm Gabriella Tam. I'm a fourth-year accounting student.
And welcome to
Social Justice.
Social Justice, a conversation.
A conversation.
Well, good evening, everybody. This is Charles Stanton. I'm here along with my partner, Gabriella Tam.
Hello.
Social Justice, a conversation, another episode in our show to try to, I guess, make people aware of all the things that are unjust in the world.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted to try to do something a little different on this show. For the vast majority of our shows, the focus, of course, has been on our country and what's going on in the United States. But we wanted to talk at the outset today about what's going on in Russia.
Yep.
And the murder of the freedom fighter, I would call him, Navalny, and how it struck such a chord around the world, in our country and in other countries, regarding a person who was basically trying to fight for democracy in a nation that basically has not known democracy except for a few years. And, you know, it was very interesting to me how the United States and all these countries reacted to his death, and the question now of what are we going to do to, in some way, make his death have meaning?
Yeah. I don't know. I just feel like it's how the United States views dictatorship all over the world is very different. If it's like we were talking before, like Russia, the Russian dictatorship is okay. It's okay to not help them change to democracy or whatever. But if it's like China or like North Korea, it's a big problem.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I know like in the beginning you said that we are switching from not what's happening in our country, but what's happening in Russia. But I feel that what happened in Russia has a huge impact to what's happening in America.
Mm.
Like, I've seen a bunch of stuff on social media where it's being revealed that the Russians are, and they have like a huge impact on the Republicans. And while I'm shocked, but also not kind of shocked. I'm surprised. It's like, oh, like you, we have all these people who are bashing dictatorship. They don't want a dictator and all that. We want to be able to vote for our president or whatever.
Mm.
But at the same time, you're supporting a country that is run by a dictator. Like, I don't know. It's just like so hypocritical to me, confusing.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of it is the association that the ex-president had with Vladimir Putin. I think that has a lot to do with it.
Yeah.
I think that they were heavily involved in the 2016 election, trying to hack our election systems.
That's so scary.
I think that the very interesting thing now with this man who was supposed to testify against Joe Biden and his son, this was supposed to be evidence against them.
Mm-hmm.
Was found out to be somebody who had had received information from the Russians actually about what Joe Biden and his son were doing, which was not true. It was all made up, et cetera, et cetera.
That's so crazy, because it's like you could probably find someone who's saying, oh, Joe Biden said this lie about Trump, and he has ties to this country that we don't like. But now that it's now that the Trump administration or Republicans have that information, it's not a problem anymore.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, it certainly, I think, explains in some ways the reluctance of the House of Representatives to vote the aid bill for the Ukraine. Because one of the things that was always one of the standard beliefs of the Republican Party for many decades was a strong defense and a strong NATO. This was always something that was part of their platform. And all that seems to have been forgotten. And we see the House of Representatives now basically impeding the government, basically shutting down one of the parts of the branches of our government, which is the legislative branch. Disappearing for days at a time, and vital, important issues that have to be decided that affect all of us, they're unwilling to even bring these things to a vote. We had the situation with the immigration, where they had a consensus in the Senate, and the thing is not brought to a vote. We have the issue, the super urgent issue now in the Ukraine, because of the fact that, you know, the war is going badly. There's a shortage of materials. There's a shortage of weaponry and everything like that, which could be cured by us stepping forward to, you know, help them out. We have been behind Ukraine from the beginning. Now, at this late stage of the war, it's like we're leaving them. And I see some parallels, not an exact parallel, but some parallels to what happened in Afghanistan. Where we just, like, it was almost like we just split. It wasn't planned out. We just left out and we were gone. But this decision, if they keep to it, has very dire consequences. Because if we do not support them, then how do the other countries in NATO, to which we're a signatory, actually believe if something happened, if Russia tried to invade other countries, that we would step forward? And it doesn't send a good message at all. What's also very interesting about it too is there was an article, I guess it was in the journal the other day, about how there's a lot of things that the United States could have done from an economic point of view that would have impeded the Russian war effort, vis-a-vis, you know, the seizing of assets, the freezing of accounts and all the rest of the stuff. And the United States didn't do anything about it. And this is going back for a long time now. So obviously, economics are a huge part of the war. And the freezing of assets and you know, cracking down on all these things would definitely impede their war effort and the wealth of a lot of the people who were behind the invasion of Ukraine. What's embarrassing is that you're reading about this in a newspaper where this person who was writer of the article laid out all these steps. But what is our government doing? These are things that can be done from the power of the executive. We don't need even the Congress to approve it. And there doesn't seem to be any leadership there. It seems, I mean, you know, I'm not crazy about Joe Biden. I mean, I think, you know, obviously, you know, the alternative is a lot worse.
It's the lesser of two evils.
But he to me is not a leader. And a leader is somebody who leads every day. Now, he'll come out once in a while and he'll say certain things and, you know, people will listen to what he has to say. But then, like, he disappears. And then all this time goes by.
And words can only go so far. It's like how we were talking about last week, like, you know, like thoughts and prayers, like the words thoughts and prayers. But what are you going to do to support and to help? What are your actions?
Yeah, well, that's it. Well, that's it. And we have the resources at our means to do it in two ways. First of all, to fund their resistance of the fact they've been invaded,
mm-hmm.
but also to use these sanctions to impede their progress financially, so that the war will be extraordinarily expensive for them to continue.
Yeah,
and the fact that a person who's writing in a newspaper, basically, they're not a member of the government, is able to come up with all these ways and means that should have been used by the government. There's something wrong there.
Yeah.
You know, and whether they don't want to do it, or they're not interested in doing it, or what have you, I don't know. But it does not look good.
Yeah.
It does not look good.
I think another thing is like, yes, we sent so much money to Ukraine, but we're all, like what we mentioned before, like it seems like Russia is now having a heavy impact on the United States, and now it's making us look very, I feel like it's making us look very wishy-washy.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, are we supporting Ukraine, or are we supporting Russia right now?
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's disturbing because, you know, they had the European conference over there, and, you know, the man was murdered, and now his wife is trying to take up the leadership role. But it's exactly what you said. In a way, it's sort of in a completely different way. It's sort of like the gun issue.
Yeah.
You know, where we've reached a point now. I mean, one of the stories that broke in the last 10 days, of course, was the shooting at the parade when they had the Chiefs victory celebration for the Super Bowl.
Oh, and there was another school shooting at, was it University of Colorado, Colorado
State? That was another one. Yeah. But I think we're way past words.
Yeah.
You know, we need the Congress to do all these different things that they're supposed to do. But because we have I wouldn't say even dysfunctional Congress. We have a non-functional Congress.
they just don't do anything.
They just don't want to do their job and participate in the legislative process.
Yeah.
When you can't even get these vital things that are affecting our nation to get a vote on it. That's bad. And my fear, I had said this to you off the air. My fear is that, as far as the budget is concerned, it's really an open question whether we will be able to get a budget.
Yeah.
And I've thought for a long time, and now this is just my personal opinion, but We've seen the situation with the immigration crisis. Mm-hmm. We've seen it with the foreign aid funding, and now we're coming up upon the budget. I think there's a lot of these people, and I truly believe this, they want to bring the whole thing down.
Oh, 100%.
They want to shut the whole thing down. They want to bring not all of them, but a lot of them want to bring the country to a standstill, and it's kind of frightening because this has really never happened before. I mean, there were shutdowns, you know, during President Clinton's time and other times, but it's more than just, you know, a difference in ideology. In other words, you could have a difference on foreign policy issues. Mm-hmm. But what we're seeing now is a complete failure to participate in the work of a legislative body. We saw this, another example of it, again, not related at all to foreign policy, but when they had the gun murders in Tennessee, where those children were killed at the school.
Yeah.
And all these people came in who were parents, And they were petitioning and pleading with the legislature of Tennessee that they would need it to have gun reform and everything. Well, the answer to them basically is inaction. The answer is not to do anything. And this has become a norm. Another case, again, not related to, you know, per se what we're talking about now. The guy who's the Attorney General of Texas. They have a huge vote in one of the bodies of the legislature that he should be removed for misfeasance and malfeasance, nonfeasance, whatever you want to say. And it comes to the vote of the other part of the legislative chamber in Texas, and they won't act on it. It's like it's not even that they won't come up with votes. It's that they just ignore it. They don't want to entertain. They don't want to entertain the issue at all.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that say? It says, well, basically, the legislation as we know it is on life support, basically.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you get elected to a position, your duty is to entertain these issues.
Mm-hmm.
You can vote for it, you can vote against it, whatever it is. They could have put the immigration vote to a vote on the floor. They could have put the aid bill to Ukraine and Israel on the floor, but they don't want to do it. They don't want to do it. So now what you have basically is a Congress that basically you only have one part of the legislature that's functioning. That's the Senate. The other part of the legislature doesn't function.
Like, I don't know. I just think this is going to go crazy in like U.S. history books. Like, it's just going to be like 10 pages where it's like, yeah, our Congress really did nothing.
Mm.
Nothing during this period.
Yeah.
Even though we had all these issues going on, they just sat on their butts and did nothing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just like, you know, it's just like all the money that was supposed to be appropriated for the wall, okay, regarding, you know, the border. Okay, you know, I'm not per se for the wall, but I mean, there needs to be immigration policy, some reform, some way. Okay, so I don't know how many billions of dollars were spent, but the actual amount of building that they did was completely out of whack to the amount of money that was spent. So where did all that money go? Now we're back again. Though we have a tremendous problem at the border. Okay, they have I guess it was three senators or four senators,
mm-hmm.
both Republican and Democrat, and they worked out their immigration policy. And some would say, well, the immigration policy was conservative, almost Republican in nature, that it was very restrictive.
Uh-huh.
But they couldn't even get a vote on that. Then they have the thing with. Then they have the thing with the Ukraine, where we've poured in billions of dollars already, and we've put our name, our legacy, our reputation, whatever word you want to use, behind these people,
uh-huh.
and then at the most important part battle of a war, we're inert. We're not doing anything.
Yeah, we just leave Ukraine like high and dry.
Yeah.
Like we're just leaving them.
Yeah. Well, and another example is, you know, the thing in Gaza with the ceasefire.
Mm-hmm.
This is another issue because, again, we're not going to go over all history here, but there needs to be a ceasefire. I mean, the fighting needs to stop. There's been too many people killed already. Okay. All right. So three times the United States has vetoed in the Security Council the plan to have an immediate ceasefire. Okay. And the rationale that's used is, well, we have a plan that we've been working on. Well, hell, we've been working on this plan for 4 or 5 months.
Yeah.
And it hasn't gotten us anywhere.
Yeah.
We're just wasting our time.
And we're killing a bunch of people.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Well, it makes no sense. But again, we get back to leadership, though.
Mm-hmm.
We get back to leadership that the one side doesn't want to do anything. And the other side, the leadership is intermittent.
Yeah.
When you look at the great presidents that we've had, whether it was Lincoln, whether it was FDR, whether it was Lyndon Johnson, Barack Obama, what have you. These were leaders, these people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could disagree with certain things they did or certain policy positions they had, but they were out there on a regular basis advocating for certain things.
Mm-hmm.
Leadership is not a sometimes hobby where you make a pronouncement and then you disappear. And then a few weeks later, you come back and make another pronouncement and disappear, especially in the office of the presidency.
Yeah.
The president, hopefully for good, and sometimes, of course, as we've seen, for bad, sets the agenda.
Mm-hmm.
You're the president of the United States. You're the leader. You're the person who people look to as the representative of our country.
Yeah.
Look to as citizens of our country. We look to that person, be they a man or a woman, and the world looks to that person as representative of hopefully the values and ideals of what America should be like. But we don't have that. We don't have that.
Yeah.
So the leadership is sort of like been diffused. And what you have basically have people who are proxies who are speaking up about what needs to be done. And yes, they're right in saying what needs to be done, but a lot of these people aren't even part of the government.
Mm-hmm.
It's people, you know, who are commentators and experts. I mean, to get a man, and I'll go back to it again, to get a man who's a columnist in a newspaper, and no disrespect to obviously a man of high intelligence and, mm-hmm. you know, financial acumen, but this is not the guy that's supposed to be setting our policy. This man is giving advice to the United States government on what they're supposed to do to impede Russia's finances, and he's writing for a newspaper, and all this information apparently is available to our government, and they haven't used any of these methods. I mean, come on here, what are we doing? And then when people talk about, you know, why is the war not going well? Well, the war's not going well because we're not supporting them.
Yeah.
You know, but I think the world is very frightened of what the future is going to be, especially, I would say, the countries in that part of the world that are adjoining the Ukraine.
Yeah.
Like Poland is one.
Yeah, Poland's a huge one. Yeah.
Estonia, Latvia, these countries, uh-huh. you know, well, what's to prevent Russia from attacking us?
Exactly.
And of course, the thing there, of course, though, is that we're a signatory to the treaty. And the treaty is not ambiguous. The treaty says that an attack on one member state is an attack on all the member states. But we're not showing like the resolve in this case to respond to a country that we're supposedly been supporting. So what is Russia going to think? Well, the United States is not going to do anything. They didn't help these people out. They left them in the holding the bag.
Not even just that, but like we talked about before, like there are literally Republicans who are supporting Russia right now. When I know we've like said many times how divided our country. Yeah. This is just another thing.
Yeah,
just like another thing on the long list of how our country's divided.
Well, I mean, I think you know when someone says like you know that. You know, as to a matter of dues, if they were short on their dues, that they would encourage Russia to invade a NATO country. I mean, that alone is just, I mean, it's mind-boggling.
Yeah.
But again, these issues are not being presented in a strong way to the people. And I think that division that we have, a lot of it has to do with a lack of information,
mm-hmm.
and a lack of resolve on the part of the people who want to keep this country a democracy that needs to be much more strong and pronounced and aggressive in promoting our democracy. And I don't see that.
Yeah.
I don't see that.
It's just, like, what is the Democratic side doing, you know?
Yeah.
Like, why are they so afraid to stand up to the other side.
Well, I don't think it's all of them.
Yeah,
I think in the Senate, you would get, I would say, pretty much every Democratic senator to vote for the aid. I would mm-hmm. say almost all of them.
Yeah.
I think in the House, you'd get, I would say, pretty much everybody in the House too.
Yeah.
But it's the leadership at the top. It's the leadership at the top. I mean, it doesn't seem to be a well-run operation. I'll give you an example. The guy who's the Secretary of Defense,
mm-hmm.
Who, you know, didn't inform anybody how sick he was, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And now apparently he's really, really sick. I mean, he's really sick. But that was another bizarre example of, like, it doesn't seem like the government, everybody knows what's going on. It's like there's a lack of direction. There's a lack of guidance.
Mm-hmm.
You need somebody, to reiterate this again, you need a leader. You need a leader. And the question is now, where is that leader? If you look around the political landscape and you say, well, you know, we need somebody who has a vision for the future. Because all the great presidents had a vision.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, certainly Lyndon Johnson did with the Great Society and the Voting Rights Bill. Certainly Eisenhower did. Certainly FDR did. Certainly Barack Obama did with the health care plan.
Mm-hmm.
And it just seems like it's like an administration that goes from day to day.
Yeah.
And they're not like really seizing the ball and saying, listen, you know, we need to do these things. I mean, if it was me, and I was in that position, I would address the country. I would go out, I would get on television. I would say, you know, we have more than three networks now, but in the olden days, when they had those issues,
mm-hmm.
they would go on ABC, NBC, CBS. They would actually ask the networks for time. And they said, you know, I need 30 minutes tonight. Mm-hmm. I need to discuss some very important issues
mm-hmm.
regarding our country. I mean, even when Jimmy Carter gave the malaise speech when he was, I guess, in his second or third year as president, he got that time. John Kennedy did during the Bay of Pigs and the crisis with the missiles in Cuba. He got the time. Lyndon Johnson got the time. And it's almost like they're afraid to put this guy out there. I don't know. He doesn't have any press conferences, really.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's disturbing. It's troubling.
I think we need someone who, well, obviously, like, who does have a plan for the future, but will actually take steps to get to that future.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that if we find someone like that, it will bring a lot of hope back to the United States.
I think so, yeah, yeah. I think you need somebody who's just going to speak to, who as much as possible can directly speak to everybody.
Mm-hmm. Who can connect.
Who can connect, yeah. Who can connect and say, listen, we're very divided, but this is what we need to do.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't pull any punches. Just put the cards right on the table.
Yeah.
We need to do A, B, C. This is what we need to do. And I'm going to ask for all of your help, that you need to get in touch with the Congress people
mm-hmm.
in Washington who don't seem to want to do that. Send them telegrams, emails, whatever it is, that this is an important point in our country's history, and we have to do things and have to take action that really reflects on all of us as individuals and reflects on our country's future.
Yeah.
And that's what we need to do, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we've thrown a few of these ideas out there, hopefully all of us together can stir a fire in a place where people look like they, you know, went off on vacation, unfortunately. But it's been a great pleasure to do the show with my colleague here. And we look forward to talking to you next week.
Thanks for listening. Good night.
Good night.
Thank you for listening to our show. If you have any questions, please do not hesitate to contact us at TAMG1, that is TAMG1, at unlv.nevada.edu. or to contact Professor Charles Stanton at charles.stanton@unlv.edu.
See you next time.